Uncertainty over leadership of Bartley Regional Hospital could be resolved tonight at the regular monthly meeting of the Board of Directors for the city-owned hospital. The board last week held a special meeting to approve a new three-year management contract with Quorum Health Resources. The Tennessee-based company has managed day-to-day operations at Bartlett for more than two decades. Under previous contracts, the chief executive and chief financial officers were employed by Quorum. But under the new deal, the board wanted those positions to be employees of the board. Incoming board president Bob Storer says the move is primarily meant to provide more accountability.
It's not an issue related to the existing staff. It's an issue related to structure. They're technically called borrowed employees from Quorum, and so by hiring our own, we know that they are accountable to us.
The uncertainty arises from the fact that current CEO Sean Morrow and CFO Garth Hamblin have non-compete clauses in their contracts with Quorum. That apparently means both are unable to seek employment outside the company for 1 year should they decide to break the contract. Storrs says the board asked Quorum to waive those clauses, but the company declined.
So, effective February 1st, we need to seek temporary help to assist managing the hospital while we then pursue long-term employees.
Officials with Quorum could not be reached for comment last week. Storer says the board has several options. That includes filling a long vacant chief operating officer position to serve as interim manager until the CEO and CFO positions can be filled.
That is a possibility. Another possibility is we can use Quorum to assist us to bring in temporary personnel to fill the positions. They have a service that they provide at a cost. Another option is to use a headhunting firm that specializes in finding temporary employees.
The board's Management Transition Committee met last week in an executive session to discuss the options, and Storer expects the group to have a recommendation for the full board of directors tonight. At recent meetings, some hospital employees expressed frustration at the board's protracted negotiations with Quorum. The board decided in August to enter into talks with the company, and Storer says he wants the leadership issue resolved as soon as possible.
Period for everybody, because when you get done with the final decision, it affects Sean, it affects Garth, and it has some impact on all the employees in the hospital as well.
Whatever the outcome, Storer says he's confident the management issues will not affect the quality of patient care at Bartlett. The hospital board meeting is scheduled for tonight at 5:15 in the hospital boardroom. New research shows northern southeast Alaska sea otter population is growing slower than in the southern part of the region, but it's still expanding, which continues to worry fishermen and divers in southeast. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has more on the story.
Will Ware goes subsistence fishing in Sumner Strait, south of Petersburg, but the administrator of the town's tribal government says he finds fewer shellfish there these days.
When you get up onto the reefs, you're seeing it's just completely shell-laden all over the rocks and beaches, and gumboot shells everywhere, shrimp shells. It's almost like a devastating sight to see on some of these islands and rocks.
The shells are leftovers from sea otters' meals. A few decades ago, the federally protected marine mammals were hard to find, but that's no longer the case. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and other agencies have been surveying southeast waters to determine the extent of otter growth. Wildlife biologist Verena Gill just released a new population estimate. It's 20,000.
The reason it is increasing, both in distribution and in number, is because these sea otters are just recolonizing where they were extirpated from.
Otter fur is thick and warm, making it a valuable commodity. Russian and later American hunters killed so many that they disappeared from southeast and most other coastal areas about a century ago. Then the state decided they should be brought back.
In the late 60s, the Department of Fish and Game actually translocated otters from some remnant colonies that were left in Prince William Sound and the Aleutians and took them over to southeast Alaska. And they've been increasing and expanding back into their original range since then.
400 otters were brought to the outer coast of southeast. Gill's new population estimate means their numbers have risen 50-fold in the past 45 or so years. But growth has not been even across the region. The South is seeing a 12% growth rate, while in the North, it's only 4%.
There isn't the habitat otters really like in northern southeast that there is in southern southeast. They tend to like water about 100 foot deep, and there is a lot more shallow habitat available in southern southeast Alaska with more of the kind of foods that they like to forage on.
The reintroduced otters have expanded from the outer coast to inside waters. It will take a while for large numbers to reach the mainland.
But if they do move into the inner waters of southeast, I think it would be many, many years. There's still a lot of available habitat on the outer coast yet for them to recolonize.
But Gill says there's no doubt the population will continue to increase and spread out. A recent report from the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association says otter expansion is reducing the region's crab, sea urchin, sea cucumber, and goeie duck populations. That's hurt commercial crabbers and divers who make their livelihood from the same species. Gill says the worst impacts may come with the marine mammals' arrival.
Otters, when they do move into a new area, they will go for the higher fat, higher calorie, easy pickings, and then gradually the diet will revert to clams, and otters, in fact, don't eat themselves out of house and home. They just switch prey.
Diet studies show 90% of what sea otters eat is clams. The rest overlaps with what people harvest. But Gill says the otters could boost the herring population. Otters eat sea urchins that consume kelp, where herring lay their eggs. One factor expected to limit population growth is climate change. Gill says the warming ocean contains more neurotoxins and biotoxins, and it's becoming more acidic, which will damage otter food.
The shells, for example, of clams may become softer. They may impact invertebrate populations that sea otters won't have the forage that they need, which will also impact the people, too.
Groups involved in the issue will get together prior to the next State Board of Fisheries meeting, January 15th in Petersburg. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
And you can go out to our website at ktoonews.org and find this report for links to additional sea otter information. That includes a recent study on impacts on Dungeness crab and commercial dive fisheries. Governor Sean Parnell has budgeted money for a new state trooper helicopter. As Tim Ellis reports from Fairbanks, the allocation is aimed at improving search and rescue response in the interior part of the state.
It's been nearly 10 years since Fairbanks area troopers have had the kind of fast and powerful helicopter needed to quickly get to a search and rescue call and then bring injured back to a hospital. Troopers have been making do since 2002 when they had to decommission a helicopter due to airframe fatigue. Troopers have had to either rely on help from the military or call in the agency's only high-performance chopper up from Anchorage. Alaska Public Safety Commissioner Joe Masters says emergency responders always are racing against time, and they're hard-pressed to win that race when they first must fly up from Anchorage.
Time is a critical issue, and sometimes minutes mean the difference between somebody's life or not.
Dan Johnson with the Interior Region EMS Council in Fairbanks says a helicopter and trained personnel that can respond quickly to emergencies are badly needed in this area.
There's definitely a need for medical-capable search and rescue helicopters service in the interior.
Johnson says the problem became critical more than 3 years ago when the Army transferred a Fort Wainwright-based air ambulance unit to Afghanistan. Troopers have since then relied on an Air National Guard unit out of Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage. Johnson says the unit, the 210th Rescue Squadron, is top-notch, but it maintains only a part-time presence in the interior.
They're usually only located at Eielson Air Force Base Monday through Friday, and other days they respond from the Anchorage area. So that delays the response.
Masters has asked Governor Sean Parnell to include in his budget proposal about $3 million for a helicopter and another $300,000 to pay for a pilot and operational costs, such as leasing hangar space at Fairbanks International Airport. I'm Tim Ellis in Fairbanks.